Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Anyone else feel like they're talking like this time of year and sneezing and coughing and annoying your family while you're watching TV like I'm sure I do?
Well, yeah, I know that I am because my kids tend to tell me. Luckily for those of us who live with these symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease in as little as a half an hour, by the way. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
The weather is finally getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. Washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost like the middleman that passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I am so excited. I have two gorgeous lightweight cashmere sweaters coming my way, one camel, one heather gray. I cannot wait to wear them in the warmer months when it's chilly in LA. Throwing them over my shoulders, gonna look so cute. Can't wait. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/judgingmegan for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/judgingmegan to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/judgingmegan. And now back to the podcast.
Hi, everyone. You are listening to Judging Megan with your host, Megan Judge. I need to talk about something that is not okay with me. And for my female listeners or men, whoever it be, when you go to the grocery store and, you know, you think you look really good. Yeah, we're wearing masks in California still, but, you know, you're like, oh, I'm having a good day. I feel really good about myself. And then you're going to check out and the person at in the lane goes, ma'am, did you find everything else that you were looking for today? And I'm like, what? Who's ma'am? I'm not a ma'am. Why are you calling me a ma'am? I am still in my head, 29 years of age. You ruined my whole day. And it's really upsetting, like how quickly it goes, where you just like 2 weeks ago were called miss. And then all of a sudden you're like shopping and you're called ma'am. My guest, Fred, is on right now, but Fred, you're not called a ma'am, and I don't even know if you can relate to this, but to women, this is like a very, very upsetting moment in your life where you all of a sudden, and by the way, I still occasionally get miss and I've gotten carded, but I realize I only get carded at Target, and that's because they cart everybody. So Fred, do you feel sorry for me? What are your thoughts on this?
No, I think you have a tremendous opportunity here. Okay. You can take the masks that you have to wear, uh-huh, and you could print on them. Don't you dare call me ma'am.
That's a good idea. I think I might do that because it really does. I mean, it really is. And I'm trying to be funny here, but you know, for women especially, like, it's like this aging is not fun. It's not fun, I don't think, for anyone. What is good about aging is the person that you become and evolve, and you become this person, which I would have killed at, like, in my 20s to have the brain and the knowledge that I do in my 40s, right? But what's hard about it is, like, we age and everything on the inside, like, of our brains usually gets better, right? But it's like the outside that starts to change and drop, and things aren't as good as they used to be or look as good as they used to look. And it's a struggle in society living in Los Angeles. Don't even get me started. So anyway, I think I'm going to take you up on that, Fred, and get a mask made. I think it's a great idea. And I'm going to start the show. Today, I'm going to talk to you about, when I have a sponsor on my podcast or an advertiser, it's really important to me that it's a product that I personally like or use, or this product, I reached out to the company myself and said, I'm a believer in your product, and I would love to advertise it on my podcast. The product is called Dose. They are liver support, like, little supplement shots, and I love them, and I'm a subscriber, and I try to take one daily. If not daily, I take one every other day. It kind of makes me feel better, like I'm doing good things for my body. They're little turmeric shots. If you're interested in finding out more about them, you can go to Dose and find out, D-O-S-E, and you can look into what the shot actually is and why it's good for your liver. But you can also use my code JUDGINGMEGAN15 and get 15% off of your first order. I really can tell you, I have been using this product now for, I would say, like, 4 or 5 months, and I do feel great. It kind of makes me feel better if I've been having, like, a little bit of buttery Chardonnay, which is my favorite, the night before, that I can kind of get my liver in check. So let's say that. So if you are interested, go to the website. You can also go to judgingmegan.com, and I'm going to start the show. So hello, everyone. I am lucky enough to have an amazing guest that I can already tell you I could talk to him for a long time. I don't even know what we're about to get into, but I can tell you it's going to be interesting. He's also funny, and we were kind of talking before we started recording, and I am very, very intrigued by this guest. My guest's name is Fred Ruttman, and Fred has told me that he has escaped kicked the Grim Reaper's ass multiple times in his life. So when I hear something like that, I immediately need to have that person on my show. Hi, Fred. How are you?
Hi, Megan. I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. So let's talk about, I want to talk about your life, but I also love that you said when you do a speech or you talk to people, you go by the name Repeatedly Dead Fred, correct?
That's correct. That's a name given to me by my friend Deanna.
By Deanna. Well, it's because your name's Fred, Dead, rhyme. Yeah. Love it. So let's talk about, let me ask you about your life, like, starting. I always start out early. We kind of talked in the beginning about some trauma that kind of happened to you in the beginning of your life, and kind of therefore some of the things that are probably happened to you later in life are connected to this. So tell me about you. Where are you from? Where were you born? Spill it. Let's hear it.
I was originally born in Winnipeg, Manitoba, which is both simultaneously the coldest place and the flattest place in the universe. Absolutely. Wow. No hills. Anyway, it gets brutally cold in Winnipeg.
I already know I like you too, because I love Canadians.
Oh, thank you.
I've had a couple on, and I always like people from Canada, but go on.
I didn't find this out till I was in my mid-30s, but apparently I had a stroke just before or just after I was born. And, you know, I'm of that age where back then they didn't do a lot of investigation into if you had learning disabilities or anything like that. So I was just the kid that was loud and obnoxious and fat. And, you know, if I'd only applied myself, I'd be, you know, really successful. What I found out when I was in my mid-30s is I had this stroke and my right hemisphere was operating at maybe 40 or 50% of what it should be. So I manifested a lot of the things, the conditions that people have with strokes. So the left side of my body doesn't work anywhere close to the right side of my body. It's called hemiparesis. So okay. Hemi, half. So people either get it horizontally, so your upper half and your lower half don't work, or you get it side split like I did. So
let me ask you a question. Do they know what caused the stroke at that young age? No idea.
No idea.
And your mom and dad must have been terrified to, like, that's such a scary thing. Did they know that it was happening?
No. Had no idea. No. Nobody knew.
Okay, so that's why you found out later in life, obviously.
Yeah, I knew something was wrong, but you don't know what to search for, you don't know what to search for. And it just happened that my sister became friendly with a woman who was doing her PhD in psychology. And this woman's husband ran a clinic for people with learning disabilities. And I went and got tested. And he gave me the diagnosis. And I worked with him. I call them the brain trainers for a couple of years. Grueling, grueling work trying to get different parts of your brain activated. And it helped a lot. It was certainly, you know, nothing that was going to cure me completely because we're talking 1980s knowledge base at that point.
Yeah.
But for what they had, they did pretty good. And I went from not being able to go to university to doing an MBA with a double major in marketing and finance.
Wow. What was your diagnosis of your learning disability? Just so you know, I also have a learning disability. I'm ADD.
Oh, well, I'm all over the map because just half my brain wasn't working. So I had good language skills, but I can't visualize things. So I have, I can't remember the words for these right now. That's also one of my problems. But I have a severe face blindness. So even people I know really well, I can see them just slightly out of context and I'll have no idea who they are. Not visualizing makes it really hard to learn.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would go out and play golf with my buddies and we'd finish and you're having a beer and they start talking about the holes you played. I'm like, I don't even remember playing that hole. I don't remember that shot.
So it's like it affects your short-term memory. Like all of that's all, there's a whole slew of things that were affected by it.
Yeah. I'm legally blind in my left eye. The whole left side of my body doesn't work properly. So, you know, you've got a dominant hand and a right dominant hand, dominant leg, non-dominant leg. My left hand was supposed to be my dominant hand. Left-handedness runs in my family.
Yeah.
My right hand performs at a non-dominant hand level. So writing is, you know, horrific for me. I could be a doctor just on my handwriting alone.
And yeah, I could too, Fred, just so you know. Let me ask you, did your parents like know that they're like wonder if there was some issues when you were a kid or?
No, they just thought it was behavioral. I mean, my parents had their own health issues that sort of overwhelmed them. So when we finally found this out, of course, they were mortified that, you know, this had slipped through the cracks. Mm-hmm. But I in no way blame them for, you know, I'm not going to say they weren't good parents or anything like that. They were amazing parents. It's just those were the limitations of the system at that point. And, you know, I'm lucky I was able to find out these things at all.
100%. So let's move on to it sounds to me like you had a pretty happy childhood and upbringing in Canada. And how did you start having issues after the stroke in adulthood? What started happening?
I don't think anything different happened. There was just things that I started noticing that everybody else seemed to be able to do that I wasn't able to do. So, for example, in hockey, because I'm a good Canadian boy, I had to play hockey. You do crossovers, and that's, you know, your right foot over left foot to help you turn. I would literally have to drag my left foot over my right foot to be able to turn the opposite way. Like, it's just not normal, but you don't know how to explain that to anybody. Now I know how to explain it.
Yeah.
And I just had, there's things that run in the background of your brain and your subconscious that allow you to do things. And mine didn't for a lot of things, especially nonverbal skills. And, or for example, driving.
Okay.
When you're driving, people have situational awareness and they know where the other cars are, who's coming, what's coming up. That runs in the background of your brain. It doesn't do that for me. I have to consciously be thinking every moment while I'm trying to drive about what's going on, what could go on. And it's just exhausting. It's just exhausting. The same for social situations.
Your brain is like constantly going overdrive for you to feel like you're making up for all kinds of like physical movements, like you're saying hockey, but also just like what other people take for granted, like driving. That's like something you really have to focus and think about, obviously.
Yes. And thinking about things consciously uses a lot more energy than things running subconsciously. I mean, that's why it's your subconscious. So it's, you know, so you're naturally always tired and you don't know why.
Yeah.
It's the same for socializing, things like that. So I call myself an intro extrovert. And that,
what does that mean? Explain what that means.
Well, I can appear to be very social. I used to be a professor. I used to do some improv. I can give speeches, so I can appear very extroverted, but it just drains my tank so quickly that I will revert into an introvert mode and have to go off by myself and recharge.
Because it's so exhausting.
Yes.
What do you do to recharge? Or do you just meditate? Are there things that you do, like secrets? I know that, I mean, I'm not even going to compare myself to you, but like with what I deal with, but just being somebody that grew up with a learning disability, you learn tricks of how to, you know, how to like talk to somebody. I have to consciously a lot of times, but just having ADD, like really remind myself, like lock eyes, like look at somebody in the eye. You know, I tend to get very distracted by things. And so I have little tricks that I've taught myself over life, but not to the point where I'm exhausted, but just that my brain works differently than other people. In some ways, I think that makes me stronger in other ways that other people don't have strength. I'm wondering if you feel that way too.
I'm sure it makes you more of a divergent thinker because you have to look for alternative ways. And I'm a very divergent thinker. I don't know that I have so many tricks, but I constantly have to remind myself to slow down because I'll come up with these far out ideas. For example, when I was in marketing, I would come up with these ideas and the rest of my team would just be like, what the fuck is he talking about? You know, so I'd have to go back like 13 steps and explain it to them. Just so they would understand, and like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. But my brain goes here to there, and other people have to go very sequentially.
Like steps. Yeah. I love though that, I mean, I can already tell, like, not even knowing the whole story, I'm so impressed by the fact that a lot of times in life and many of my guests, I'm always like, I love doing what I do, but I found so many extraordinary people that just take no for an answer. Like, they will not take no for an answer. So it's like, mm-hmm. some people could have had what happened to you as a young child and just kind of like given up and not work so hard to get to where you are in your life. And I always find that mm-hmm. extraordinary. Like, it's some kind of drive. I don't know if you're spiritual. I'm very spiritual. And mm-hmm. I kind of think that God gives us things, not fun things to go through in life. They're like tests to kind of get to the other side, right? Like, we're all in this big giant maze. So I find it amazing and fascinating. And just, I'm inspired, so inspired by you that you were able to do the things that you've been able to do in your life.
Well, thank you. I'm on the Orthodox Judaism side. So okay. I have a pretty good rooting in God. And I'm the firm believer that God doesn't make mistakes. Mm-hmm. So you were made exactly how you were supposed to be made to achieve whatever purpose in life you're supposed to purposize, I guess.
Yeah.
I also believe you can learn things like overcoming adversity and resilience. And I learned a lot of that by osmosis, just watching my parents go through their struggles. I mean, you know, they never sat us down and said, you know, this is how you overcome adversity. This is how you be resilient. This is how you fight your way through things. But you just see them and you know, you acquire that don't quit gene.
Which is really special, a very special gift that a parent can give a child, you know. Mm-hmm. To not give up. Let's talk about, you know, you told me that you were, have been clinically dead and suffered with type 2 diabetes. I want to get into that because I know that I've never had somebody on my podcast that has talked about that and kind of coming back, and I'm fascinated. Like, beyond fascinated. I read books on this kind of thing. And I think everybody does because we're all like, what happens when we go and where, like, tell me about that. Tell me about how your first time dealing with being clinically dead.
So I didn't know I was dead till this had happened to me about 17 or 18 times. We initially thought I was just passing out randomly for some reason. And then it was about 4 or 5 months of being misdiagnosed and, you know, ignored by doctors in the hospital. They had their, you know, medicinal cognitive bias. So, you know, here's a fat, middle-aged white guy who doesn't exercise enough. He must be having a heart attack. And that's what they kept treating me for. And, you know, they just wouldn't budge off their spot. So the coming back to life part was much worse than the dying part.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Anyone else feel like they're talking like this time of year and sneezing and coughing and annoying your family while you're watching TV like I'm sure I do? Well, yeah, I know that I am because my kids tend to tell me. Luckily for those of us who live with these symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat and sinus congestion and pressure with ease in as little as a half an hour, by the way. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The dying part, okay, you just kind of...
Let's go backwards a little bit. When was the first time? Because now I'm like, oh my gosh, when is the first time this happened to you? And like, what happened? Was this connected to diabetes? Was this connected to your stroke? What was the cause and what exactly happened?
To this day, they don't know the cause.
Okay.
And they also don't know why it came back to life.
Okay. So what exactly happened that you were clinically dead?
Started in May 2009, and what was eventually diagnosed is I have something called a full heart block. So that means the electrical system in your heart that sends the signals for your atria and your ventricle to pump.
Okay.
It fries. So it doesn't send any signals. So your heart stops pumping. Your blood pressure goes to zero, and there's no blood or oxygen in your brain. So you just collapse wherever you are.
So you just fell to the ground.
Yeah. And that's how I got all these concussions, because I happened to hit my head on whatever was the hardest object in the universe in the immediate vicinity. And then, you know, certain times it took my heart quite a while to start up again. So there's also oxygen deprivation. So layering these concussions and a little bit of oxygen deprivation on top of the damage that was already there from the stroke, it was a pretty potent cocktail.
Okay, let's talk about when you, like, who found you when that happened? Did somebody take you to the hospital? Like, how, like, what exactly happened? And then I want to know what happens when you die, if you can tell me that. And did you see light? Did you see Elvis? Like, what did you see?
Oh, Elvis said I'm not allowed to talk about him. So, the majority of the times when I was out of the hospital, I just revived myself. My heart just started beating again on its own, and they have no idea why. So, when I realized after the fourth or fifth time how bad this was and how horrible I felt, that's when I started calling the ambulances and ended up in the hospital. And that's when I learned I was type 2 diabetic. So if you know any type 2 diabetes numbers, in Canada, I was a 23. In the US, that's about a 420.
What does that mean? Can you explain that?
That's your blood sugar levels.
Okay, but that's like the worst it can be, I would assume.
It's pretty close to maple syrup.
Okay.
That's how thick your blood is. So it makes it harder for your heart to push everything through and get blood to where it's supposed to get.
Okay.
So this is going to be a little disappointing, but I didn't see any lights.
Okay.
And I feel kind of ripped off.
Yeah.
You hear all these great stories of people, you know, seeing long lost relatives and Elvis and John Lennon and all these things.
Yeah.
Okay. once I miss out, twice I miss out. But like, I'm getting into the 30s here. There's nothing. It's just not right. I should have had a better death experience.
So how many times has this happened to you in total? Do you even know?
We think roughly 40 to 50.
Oh my gosh. And like you, so out of all those times, you never saw any light, you never saw like a deceased relative, like nothing. It's just,
no,
just gone. Okay.
Although
that's not the answer I wanted, Fred.
I did have some out of body experiences.
Okay. Tell me those. Cause there's gotta be something I need to know.
Yeah. It's in Judaism, we believe when you die, your mm-hmm. soul detaches from your body and, you know, goes up, up, up. And it fights to stay attached because it's very comfortable in your physical realm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the out-of-body experiences are probably like. So, you know, you're looking down on yourself. I remember once I was out in the middle of a field. I was riding my bike and this happened to me. And there's nobody around. It's pitch black. And I just remember looking at myself. There's my bike. There's me just sprawled out and saying, I don't think I'm supposed to be doing this right now. So mm-hmm. It's pretty hard to remember all the things that you think are going on when you have these out-of-body experiences. Are you being photobombed?
No, I'm sorry. Like, my dog is sneezing. I have two Labradors. I would cut this out, but I don't want to miss any of your story, but she just started sneezing. So you kind of, was it like you were above your body and like seeing yourself like in the, I don't know yeah. if you've ever seen the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze, but kind of reminds me of that scene where he dies and he's like looking from above and seeing his body. Is it kind of like that?
That's pretty much exactly what it is. And I can't really go more into depth about that because I just don't remember anything more than the event. I know that this happened to me a number of times. And
do you think also like it was like your physical body and brain saying, I'm not ready, it's not my time, that kind of like pulls you back in?
It could be that, but I think, you know, when God decides you're going to go, that's mm-hmm. sort of, you know, the final arbiter. So I don't know if it's your body saying you can't go yet. I don't know if it has that decision-making power, but it's quite possible.
I had a really, like on a side note, I had a really interesting conversation with a friend of ours over the weekend. We went to dinner and he's a firefighter and he got caught in a fire. Like everything was black and he couldn't find his way out. Like he was stuck in there.
Terrifying.
Yeah, they wear like these oxygen masks and I think they only have like a limited amount of time and they were in a fire and they had like a line, like where they were following each other into the fire, but it was just pitch black. And he said, I'm always, by the way, blown away by people that serve, like that's their calling in life to do something like that. Right. And he's a great guy, great, great human being. And he was saying like in his head, it's such a scary feeling because you kind of know what's happening, right? But in your situation, mm-hmm. it's like you don't know what's happening because it happens that quick. So mm-hmm. it's something like as human beings, I'm always fascinated by like we're all here for a limited period of time. And no matter what your religion is, whether it's Judaism or it's Christianity or you know, I believe it's about like being here and doing the best you can as a human being. And that's what my God, that's what I believe I'm supposed to be doing in my own life. And I think many people believe that and learn from things like that have happened to you. But I just, I'm just so fascinated by the things like not knowing and just it being over so quick like that in a snap and not mm-hmm. knowing if that day is your day because you never know. And we were kind of having this conversation like your life, he's like your life kind of flashes in front of you and you think of like your last conversation with like your family or whatever it is. And you're like, this can't be the end. So to have something like your experience where it's just so quick that mm-hmm. it's so fascinating to me that this has happened to you so many times and like, yet you're still here and there's a reason for it. Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's just figuring out what that reason is. Mm-hmm. And if that reason is for me to write the book that I'm working on or to get on podcasts and tell my story and help other people know they're not alone in their struggles or, you know, whatever benefit they get from listening to us. Maybe that's just my singular purpose, but.
And that's an amazing purpose. And it's a blessing that you're still here and that you have this ability to be able to tell people your story. Let's kind of shift a little bit and talk about like your health and kind of how you, like, what do you do to control this not happening anymore? And I'm fascinated by the other topic that we're going to talk about, which is intermittent fasting, which I've done myself. Okay. Is that something that you do now? Like, tell me why you're an expert on intermittent fasting. And is this to kind of control your health and your episodes so they don't happen again? Like, tell me about that.
Well, it was initially supposed to be for weight loss. So I went to see my cardiologist for a regular checkup and I'm sitting in the exam room and he opens the door and he literally throws a book at me and he says, buy this, read this, do this. And the book was The Obesity Code by Dr. Jason Fung. So I said, okay. And he says, but, you know, we have to get buy-in from all your other doctors. I think I've got like six other primary care doctors. And wow. That conversation took a while. And I eventually got permission to start fasting. So I started fasting. And I'm guessing some of your listeners, viewers, have a little bit of idea about intermittent fasting. And they hear things like 16:8 or 19:5 or mm-hmm. alternate day fasting and stuff like that. I started 12:12. I was so beat up from this, and about 3 weeks into it, I'm kept alive by a pacemaker. So that's how they eventually cured or tried to cure my not dying all the time.
How long ago did you get that? Because I kind of skipped ahead. When did you get the pacemaker? How long ago?
August of 2009.
Okay. So have you not had the episode since having the pacemaker?
Oh, sweetie, if only that were true.
Okay.
So I was just about at a stage in 2013 where I felt ready to go back to work. I was a college professor, and the pacemaker failed. I'm 100% dependent on the pacemaker. If it fails, I fail. Yeah. And so I had to have a couple of emergency surgeries for them to try and replace the pacemaker. And but between the time they did the surgeries or before they did the surgeries, I had a whole bunch of other episodes where I was clinically dead again. I was clinically dead on the operating table. And, you know, I hit my head again. So I went back to square one with having to do all this recovery. And there's no blueprint for this. Like there's no playbook. You just have to try and figure things out. And so I was getting better. And in 2018, the pacemaker failed again. So this is like a one in a billion event that happened to me a few times. And they couldn't properly replace the pacemaker. So they had to put in a second pacemaker as a backup. So I'm concurrently running two functional pacemakers. Wow. So I don't know. Yeah, I have a genius of a surgeon. I don't know if this is true or not, or this is just, you know, hospital talk, but I was told I'm one of like 8 people who have simultaneously functioning pacemakers.
Oh my gosh, I need to put you into, my husband's best friend is a cardiologist, and I'm fascinated to have him listen to this and hear about you.
Well, when I go to the hospital for whatever event, like, doctors don't believe me.
Yeah.
Like, you've got my file in front of you. Read the file. Still don't believe you.
That must be. Okay. And the other thing, like, just to backpedal a little bit, the anxiety that you must, which is also not good for your body and your heart, just the anxiety of being like, am I going to fall today and die? Like, all you must have constantly felt that way and living in fear. That's so scary.
Still do. It's still running in the background all the time.
Yeah.
Because I know that the malfunctioning pacemaker has to be replaced in a year. And I'm going to have, I don't know, my 12th or 13th heart procedure in the last 12 years.
Wow.
So, but on to intermittent fasting.
Yes. I'm sorry that I keep sidetracking, but I'm so fascinated, and people must talk to you and be like, there's no way this, it's just fascinating. I've never heard of something like this before. It's very scary. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what it must be like. And like, just, you must have tricks. Do you have things that you do to, like, you know, relax and help the health of your mind and your body? Because all of that stress on your, it's just too much. What are some things you do before go back into intermittent fasting?
Exercise for sure. Exercise,
okay.
You know, have to get my exercise in.
What are
some things? I walk and I ride my bike. That's primarily what I do now.
Okay.
I you know, put on my COVID mask, take off my COVID mask. It's sort of like, you know, doing bicep curls or something.
You have to be very careful, I'm assuming, with COVID. You're high risk.
Yeah.
Right?
Probably not. I mean, I've had COVID. I've had the original COVID and I've had the Omicron. I just got my booster yesterday. So,
I had
Omicron. Now protected. Too. I'm protected against what I already had.
It was not fun. Well, let's talk about, so you exercise. So that's the kind of thing, which, by the way, is so good for your brain. If I work out almost every day, and if I didn't walk and do the thing, and you'll see my Peloton right behind me. If I didn't do those things, like it would not be good. It would not be good. I think it's so important. I can't reiterate enough to people that get out and work out, do whatever you can to move. So when you say you do the intermittent fasting and you do the 12-12 cycle, I've done intermittent fasting. I've done pretty much, and I hate to say it's a diet because I think intermittent fasting goes more along with a lifestyle. What is the 12-12? I try to do, and I'm not always successful with it, but I do try to do intermittent fasting, and I usually do the 12-8. That's my window. But some days I'm starving. I definitely do my coffee, but you want to make sure you have less than 40 calories. So you can tell me all about that, your tricks with that kind of stuff and how you last. But what's the 12-12? So what window do you eat, just for my listeners that might not know what intermittent fasting is?
That was my baby steps when I was just starting, because I had, you know, to measure my insulin and my other medications, and doctors didn't really know how my body was going to react to this and what effect it would have on my medication doses. So we started off pretty minimal. So I'd fast 12 hours and have a 12-hour eating window, which, you know, very quickly disappeared. Once I got into a rhythm and my body started to heal from the pacemaker surgery, I ended up probably by September. So this is starting in May. By September, I was doing 23-1.
Wait a second. One meal. What does that mean? 23.
I was fasting.
So you eat 1 hour a day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, it gets better.
Oh my God. How do you even do that?
Well, it's training your body because, firstly, if I can show you a book, I don't know how well you can see this.
Okay. It says Fast, Feast, Repeat by Jin Stevens. Okay.
Okay.
So tell me about it.
This is my fasting mentor. Okay. And she's got a Facebook group of like 335,000 followers that I'm a moderator in.
Okay, what is the Facebook group? Because I think intermittent fasting is becoming bigger and bigger. And I know just myself. So in my family, it's cholesterol is an issue. So everybody mm-hmm. genetically inherits fun things, right? Mm-hmm. And my fun thing is I inherited high cholesterol. My grandfather had it. Like my mom has it. I have it. And so I don't take meds. But I try to control it with my eating. So right now I'm a vegan. I've been a pescatarian and I really just started going vegan recently. But I also know how important intermittent fasting can be for controlling your cholesterol. So tell me about the book and like kind of how you do it. Cause I know people want to know what to do.
Well, firstly, everybody's going to do it differently. Because all our bodies are different. We all have bio-individualities. Some people work mm-hmm. better on carbs. Some work better on fats. Some work better on proteins and in different combinations.
True.
So Jin has a little twist on what most of the other intermittent faster icons, I guess we'll call them, suggest. She does the clean fast. So other people say you can do your coffee with the 40 calories.
Okay.
Or bulletproof coffee or diet drinks and stuff like that. We don't do any of that.
Okay. By the way, the bulletproof, this is just me. And like you just said, our bodies are all different. So I'm not saying it's wrong or right. For me, I was doing the bulletproof and guess what? It made my cholesterol go up. So I had to completely cut it out. So it just depends on the person, right?
Yeah. I guess we should probably do a medical disclaimer. Anybody looking into doing intermittent fasting, check with your appropriate medical practitioners.
Thank you, Fred. Yes, please. That's so important because I went into it not knowing and I just did it like a friend of mine and she could do it that way, but I couldn't. It completely messed mm-hmm. up. I had brought it way down and then it went back up because of that. But go on. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
So Jin does the clean fast. So it's water mm-hmm. or sparkling water. No flavors, black coffee, black tea, no flavors, no artificial sweeteners, no diet drinks, nothing. It is as clean as possible. Teas that have a bitter profile don't mm-hmm. elicit an insulin response. Mm-hmm. Same with coffee. And what happens if you fast past a certain time period with intermittent fasting, you'll start to lower your basal insulin rates. So people who have metabolic syndrome or whatever you want to call it, insulin resistance, they have too much insulin floating in your system. And once that gets out of whack, so many of your other hormones get out of whack mm-hmm. and your leptin and your ghrelin, which is your satiety and hunger signals, your, estrogens, your testosterones, your adrenaline, growth hormone, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a domino effect. So once you've fasted and you've given your digestive system a chance to calm down and get rid of some inflammation, it seems that a lot of your other hormones fall into place. And I can't tell you how many people we've seen, get rid of their thyroid problems, reverse PCOS, get rid of their type 2 diabetes, get rid of sleep apnea, get rid of asthma, and the list goes on and on and on. So I am no longer type 2 diabetic.
Wow. My
type 2, and they tell you have a chronic disease. You're never going to get rid of this. And it's total bull. It's totable.
So let me ask you a question. Did you originally do this for weight loss purposes? Was that the main thing behind it when your doctor gave you the original book, The Obesity Code?
Yes, because it was more focused on weight loss.
Okay.
So Dr. Fung is a nephrologist and kidney specialist. And he was sick and tired of seeing so many people come into his clinic with kidney issues because they were type 2 diabetic. Mm-hmm. And he knew there was a way, and that's how he got a substantial number of his patients intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. And he reversed their type 2 diabetes, and he saved their kidneys.
Wow.
And so, other amputations.
So now, you're a moderator on this Facebook group. What is the Facebook group, in case any of my listeners, can they join? Is it open for people to join?
Sure. Okay. It's called the Delay, Don't Deny Book Support Group. So that was Delay, Don't Deny is Jin's previous book before Fast, Feast, Repeat.
Okay.
She also has a...
Go ahead.
She also has a newer site, which is a fee-based site, which you can reach at jinstevens.com/community.
Okay, perfect. And so this is it sounds to me like this intermittent fasting has been a life changer for you, just to completely change your life and, beat being type 2 diabetic, which I didn't know that you could do either. So now are you, you must have lost a lot of weight doing this. How do you, every day you just eat for the 1 hour a day?
It varies. I do a couple of different protocols. Okay. So there's alternate day fasting, and I do, a modified alternate day fasting. So we have mealless Monday. So you start your fast some point Sunday evening, and you'll fast until some point Tuesday morning or Tuesday afternoon. Excuse me. So, depending on when you start and stop, 36, 42 hours, whatever. And then we do a mealless Thursday. So same thing. And does the fast always go as planned? No, sometimes you have to cut it short at, 33 hours or something. And sometimes it's a smooth sail, but that's because
life happens.
Yeah. So yeah. You don't beat yourself up because you didn't make your goal of 40 hours or whatever, because you had a great 33 hours that did a lot of healing.
Yeah.
And
has this also helped? So I'm assuming it has helped you with weight loss. It's helped you beat type 2 diabetes. Has this helped with your heart? Has this helped with other things?
It helps with a lot of things. It's, I got rid of my sleep apnea. I got rid of asthma. My brain fog has disappeared. My energy levels are off the charts because you're running on ketones, which your brain seems to like more than running on carbs. All my medical numbers are fantastic. My heart, we don't know what's going to happen. I've had a couple of checkups where they were looking at the pacemaker and they're like, wait a sec, your heart is actually beating.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So whether those are software glitches or that's actually something that's repairing itself, we're not sure yet.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
One of the really impressive things about fasting is it triggers an enhanced process called autophagy.
Okay.
So autophagy is a healing system that our body has running 24/7. But the way we're eating with the standard North American diet, it doesn't have a chance to wind itself up. And basically works at the cellular level. You have tons of proteins that get discombobulated in your body. Don't, you know, they're supposed to get enveloped into another protein and create something else, but they don't. And they end up sitting in cells in these little pieces. It's basically like having your pipes blocked. So autophagy starts the process of unblocking all these cells and healing all sorts of things. So we have stories of women telling us their cesarean scars have gone away.
Oh my God, scars, I need to sign up for this.
I know I all have the a scars. Cesarean
scar. That's amazing. That's crazy.
Yeah. Your skin tags disappear because skin tags are related to high insulin levels. I know the scars from all my chest surgeries and from my legs where they took out the veins and arteries and things like that, they're starting to disappear. I mean, I don't know that they'll ever completely disappear, but they're certainly way ahead of other people I know that have had the similar surgeries. For women in particular, it causes your growth hormone to start producing at higher levels closer to when you were a teenager and going through growth spurts. Mm-hmm. And the reason that's so important for women is that's what governs your bone density. Mm-hmm. And women have such a problem with bone density. I know I've fallen off my bike or been hit by a car so many times on my bike in the last 4 years. That it's amazing. Nothing is broken. I mean, somebody is seriously trying to kill me, but
is that podcast part two? Because I like your story is so fascinating to me. Go on.
No, I should have broken hips galore. I mean, I'm at that age where you fall, you should have a broken hip. But I had a DEXA scan and they did my bone density and it was just off the charts. The doctor couldn't believe how high my bone density was. But it also explains why I can barely swim and I sink like a rock. I have reverse buoyancy, I guess.
So I'm fascinated by your entire story, but if somebody wants to reach out to you are you on Instagram? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
My Instagram is repeatedly dead Fred. It's just the easiest thing to remember. So
I love that you, I also wanted to like, before we close, I wanted to say, I love your attitude about this. I think it's amazing that you're like, I'm going to find ways to like beat this and keep going. And I mean, intermittent fasting, I now need to read that book. That's terrifying to me, to be honest with you, to like, but obviously you have to train your body to get to that point. But it's fascinating because this isn't the first time I've heard people overcoming so many health issues, like joint related, whatever it is. I never have heard.
Oh, for sure.
What you told me today. But I just think it's the human body is so amazing that it can overcome so much and come back, and especially related to like what we're putting into our bodies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the biggest things I've learned about processed foods, the ultra processed foods and the sugars are, you know, obviously not good for you, mm-hmm. but the ultra processed oils, the vegetable oils are, you know, the corn oils, the cottonseed oils, the sunflower, they're even worse for you. They're just toxic.
Yeah.
And if you can get rid of those, that's a huge first step in getting rid of all the inflammation in your body. You know, for everything I've been through, and I played hockey and I played football and I played college rugby, I used to get out of bed with my body just aching. Like it was just unbelievable. Yeah. Now, after all these surgeries, I don't have an ache or pain in my body. I don't have migraines. I rarely get a headache. I almost never get anything beyond a sniffle, except for COVID.
But, that wasn't your fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you though, before we close really quick, do you get hungry? Like, how do you do it? So you just drink tons of water. I see you drinking water right now. It's like you said, it's like a training yourself.
Yeah. So once your hormones get some level of rebalancing, and it's different for each person as they go along their journey, your body gets more in touch with its natural hunger and satiety signals. So a lot of times what we think is hunger is really boredom. And, you know, I will get hungry occasionally, but I also know if I eat this much, I'll get a good, strong satiety signal that says you don't need to eat anymore. And for me, that's a little cough. Everybody has a different little sign that and I go, that's it. I know I stop eating at that point. It's really freaky. It's called appetite correction.
Wow. Okay. This is amazing. Well, I could talk to you and do a whole, and maybe we will, to talk about more of what you've gone through. Cause it sounds like I'm going to read your book when you're done with it and it comes out, but I just love you. I love your attitude. I think that you're amazing. And I think that, this is a whole new thing that I'm going to have to read up on because, I believe everything is connected. Our mental health is obviously connected to our bodies and what we're putting into our bodies. And if you're eating the wrong things and not doing the right things, you're going to have an even harder time with your not only physical health, but your mental health. And I believe 100% that you can do these things. And now I'm going to have to go look more into this after talking to you. But thank you so much for coming on. There's a reason you're a little miracle. You're a miracle. You're supposed to be here, Fred.
I guess so. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I love talking to you today. In closing, I like to say this now every episode. Live your life trying to be kind, trying to be good. I'm doing the best I can. Am I always kind? No. Did I maybe like honk at somebody and give them the middle finger today when I was driving? Yes, I did. We're all human beings. We're all works in progress. But the best thing I can tell you that I learned from my dad that I now close every episode with is be happy by making others happy and try to live your life doing that. I know my dad did and he was successful at it. And I'm going to try my darndest, damnedest for the rest of my life to do that. So be happy by making others happy. Thank you all for listening to my podcasts every week. They come out every Tuesday. Share with your friends. You know, I'm doing something with my life that I'm so happy to be doing. And I'm so happy to meet people like Fred. And thank you for listening. Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.